let's end our first episode of the off-season.
I drooled on myself.
No, Flynn, stop. He's a dog.
I love my sink.
Pick your must-see episode. I say everything wrong.
I'm still hearing me.
And it was the best day of my life.
Welcome to the Schlin Show podcast, presented by ViStar, where we're not afraid to mess up. We're not afraid to have a little fun.
Come on, Schlin.
And now, this episode, we'll be talking to basically the kindest man alive, Charles Davis with CBS. He always takes the time to give us insights around the NFL Combine and the draft. And now he's in the booth and will be the analyst this Sunday when the Steelers take on the Jaguars.
So Charles, last time we spoke and saw each other in person, which is such a strange concept now, was back yes. at the scouting combine. We were talking all about who the Jags are taking at 9 and 20 and had no idea what was coming of this 2020 season. So right. How has it been treating you, and how much has football changed for you right now?
You know, I would say we're all essentially in the same boat, right? Depending on what your job is, what your tasks are. If you're a player and a coach, it changed the way that you prepare for the season, whether it's your workouts as a player and your, you know, OTAs and mini camps went away. And as a coach, not being able to see the people that you drafted, signed as free agents, brought back from the year before, from the end of last season until training camp in July. So that changed a lot of that. And of course, the offseason preparation with Zoom. For us as people who cover the game, probably the same thing. We lost contact as well. So were they not, they didn't get contact all that time. They reestablished contact. But essentially for us, our contact is still this way. So, you know, I'm sure for you and the rest of the team there with the Jacksonville Jaguars, meeting the new rookies, right? The free agent signings, the people who have been brought in, right? All of that, I don't know if you've actually met a lot of them in person. In a lot of cases, the answer is no. And if you did, it was socially distanced. They were at a microphone way, way away. You're not getting the same normal interactions that you would from before. But we're all in the same boat. 31 other teams are in the exact same spot. Everyone in the broadcasting business is in the exact same spot. So, you know, none of us are complaining. We actually consider ourselves fortunate that we have an NFL season going on, because let's face it, Ashlyn, how many people do we know that we have family, friends, acquaintances? Because of this pandemic, many people we know lost a lot of what they have. We're fortunate enough, we're in a business that was able to continue on.
Could not agree more. Very thankful there is still football here, because I don't know what I would be doing every single day. This is it. This is all I got.
Right. Makes two of us.
Well, Charles, you are calling the game on Sunday, Pittsburgh Steelers and Jaguars, and undefeated Pittsburgh Steelers, Jaguars, 8-game losing streak. But I catch myself, because people have asked me what I think about this game, and I don't want to sound like a homer and, you know, the team reporter. There's just always something about this game that is passionate. It always comes down to the wire. The Jaguars are always in it. So I find myself optimistic this week. Is that crazy?
I don't think it's crazy for this reason. You know, when you go through the season and you see this Jacksonville Jaguars team, we've seen 1-8 that is more than ready for the next season. Right. We've seen those teams in the NFL. Right. You can spot them really a mile away. And if you can't, when you get closer, you can smell it. You're like, oh, yeah, you can't wait for next season. But this is a Jaguars team that took Green Bay to the wire last week. I think that, you know, 4 games this year, they've either led or been right there in the fourth quarter. They have not given up on Coach Doug Marrone and their staff. You know, they have not folded tent. They have not, you know, said, okay, enough of this. And when you look at what they've dealt with, your second-year quarterback, he gets hurt. Rookie sixth-rounder, he's got to play now. You know, your wide receiver in the second round that I'm crazy about, Laviska Shenault, you know, blows a hammy a couple games ago. I mean, we just go right down the line. Obviously, finding James Robinson has just been an incredible revelation for everyone. But this team has not given up. It has not quit. It has fought. And I know that sounds a little Pollyanna-ish, But when I prepare for a game and I have a team that is 1-8, that's something I'm going to check pretty closely. And don't forget, this is a Pittsburgh team that while they're undefeated, last two ball games, they've had to come from deficits of 10 points or more to win. One of them you would expect, that was at Baltimore. The right. Second one at Dallas, none of us saw that coming. We thought every time for Pittsburgh to just put the boots to Dallas, this was the year. And it wasn't. Mm-hmm. So who knows what's going to happen? Who knows how it's going to present? So we're going to look forward to it. And Mike Tomlin, head coach of Pittsburgh, I think you saw his press conference on, I guess, Tuesday, where he said, you know something? We approach every game. We're playing professionals. This is not the big – it's not a Big Ten team versus a MAC team. And, you know, I know the MAC teams are like, hey, what'd we do? You know, we beat some Big Tens along the way. But we understood his point. His point is in the NFL – these are all pros, man. These guys, there's a sliver of difference. There's a reason they call it a 7-point league, because almost every game is going to come down to a touchdown or stuff. Mm-hmm. That's what you deal with.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting and interesting because it always is. And I have a hard time at times because you have the Jaguars fans that watch all the programs and they get it. They want that franchise quarterback and they're fighting with the Jets. They want that Trevor Lawrence, that number one pick. But then when you're in it and you see the efforts and the coaching staff not giving up, like you just mentioned, it's hard to balance because there are two interests. But right now, I mean, you've covered the league for so long and you get it. When you're in this, you want to win. It doesn't matter about next season. But you also see the other side of Jaguars fans saying, hey, don't mess with our draft picks now.
Totally. And we go through it, right, Ashlyn, every year when you and I are able to talk. And I always look forward to that at the combine prior to the draft. There is that part of football where there's the excitement of, okay, what are the new toys we get done wrap, right? It's our holiday season. Who are the people who are going to get us back to where we expect to be? There's still remembrance of AFC title game, one bad call away from going to the Super Bowl. That wasn't that long ago, but it's amazing how many people are different on the team already. It doesn't take long in this league, so you can build up fast, you can tear down fast, and that's why all of that is part of it. But I would just say, stay within state, look at Miami, and all year long last year, what was the talk prior to the season and as the season went on? Tank for Tua. Then Tua gets hurt. The Dolphins kept fighting under Brian Flores. They kept scratching and clawing. They won some games, and their fans were like, oh, no, don't win these games. End up fifth, and everybody's like, I'm not going to get our guy. And Joe Burrow emerged, and you can't have a better matchup of an Ohio kid going to an Ohio-based team in Cincinnati. So he goes at one. Mm-hmm. Now you get a chance to get the guy you thought you would get in the first place, but he got hurt. Do we take him? Do we not? What do we do? The Miami Dolphins held in there, and at five, they still got their guy. I'm not saying the same thing happens about Trevor Lawrence. I'm not saying that. But I do think there's something to fighting, scratching, clawing, trying to win as many games as possible and build for the future. And you end up somehow getting maybe not the person you thought you would get, but maybe you get the right person. Who knows?
Right. You meet in the middle there, and it seems to be working out for the Dolphins. So,
Ashlyn, you remember when they took him at five, it wasn't – if it had been a year before, it would have been unanimous acclaim, right?
Oh, yeah.
Of the injury – the severity of it. We hadn't seen him in the offseason. A lot of people were thinking it was a gamble and they maybe should have taken Justin Herbert, right? At five, Herbert goes six to the Chargers. This is one of those unusual years, Ashlyn, where we got three quarterbacks taken in the first round in the top six picks, and all three look like they're going to pan out and be 10-year starters in the league. And that rarely happens when you're picking quarterbacks.
Right. And that kind of, because we, of course, are already looking ahead to next year, it kind of seems like that's now the trend with college football is even next year. You have all of these quarterbacks being talked about. And of course, Trevor Lawrence is at the top of that. But I'm sure come scouting combine, we'll be there and we're going to talk to you about names that we don't even know right now.
That is so true, right? And they're already starting to emerge even in a truncated college season, right? Do they play this week? Don't they? They're off 3 weeks. Now they come back and play. But we're seeing names emerge. So Trevor Lawrence, of course, right? The kid at Ohio State is obviously going to be a major topic of discussion. And Justin Fields, Kyle Trask right here in state in Florida. Don't tell me he's not getting on the radar and people are going, whoa, 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 we need to take another look at this kid. This kid's throwing four touchdowns in his sleep before he rolls out of bed every game. And so, you know, Mac Jones at Alabama, who everybody's like, God, he's got to replace Tua, and what's he going to do? And now we're talking about him being a Heisman Trophy candidate. So you're right about that. By the time we get to the combine, those names, Trey Lance at North Dakota State, plenty of others. So whether you have the first pick, the second pick, the fifth pick, whatever, I think there will be quarterbacks available that people would have in heavy consideration.
Love it. And we got to stick with quarterbacks here because that is all anyone wants to talk about. Here in Jacksonville, you have Jake Luton right now going into his third start. Gardner Minshew, unfortunately, fractured in his thumb. Do you feel like you have enough sample size of Gardner Minshew? Because there are some Jaguars fans that do or die want him back in the game no matter what. But do you feel like you know what he is?
I feel like I do because I watched him through his time in college. You know, I feel like that part helps me. But in terms of NFL play, you never really have a quote-unquote enough sample size. But we've seen what he can do. Do you decide to build with him and go? That's a big question for Dave Caldwell in the front office and everyone else that goes along. Jake Luton, of course, getting him in the sixth round again. You know, just like Minshew, another guy that looked like a complete project, the whole deal. Now he's going to come in and play. He won't get enough sample size if indeed they go back to Minshew, let's say next week. Let's say Minshew is able to play. We don't know yet, right? Mm-hmm. We won't have enough sample size, but they're getting a good view of him, that sort of a deal. I'll be honest, Ashlyn, I don't think either one of them at this stage, no matter how the rest of the season plays, is going to lock it down enough that Jacksonville won't be evaluating quarterbacks. They have to. They've got to do due diligence and evaluate, see where they are in the draft, go through all of them and make a firm decision. Look, let's be honest about it. Did any of us know Blake Bortles was going to get called with the third pick that year from Dave Caldwell? Boy, did he keep that under wraps, right?
Yes.
So people can say whatever they want. AFC championship game with Blake Bortles, you know, however you want to cut it. It didn't work out in the long run, but took the guy at three. So quarterbacks will be in consideration, but Minshew, there's something about him. There just is. You can't take your eyes off of him. And a lot of times he plays to that level. Luton's first start was a revelation for everyone. And then last week in tough weather conditions against a good team, not a surprise that numbers weren't that great. That happens, you know, let's see what happens.
Right. No, I'm excited to see how he progresses and see. I mean, this is as tough of a matchup as it is.
This is going to be a big one for him because he's going to see, I would imagine, Pittsburgh, I guess, at this stage of the season. Jacksonville won't wear white at home, I'm guessing. So we will see white jerseys with gold pants sailing at him from the first snap on Sunday because that Blitzburg thing is real. You know, with 66, 67 straight games with a sack, they're chasing down the record, which is 69, I believe, by Tampa Bay. If they don't put people on the deck, if they only get two sacks in a game, they feel like they did nothing. And so far this season, I think, what was it, Denver? I think they pressured them 19 times, knocked them down 11 times, seven sacks. That's Pittsburgh.
Oh, big game for the offensive line, to say the least. All right. Let's talk a little bit about you. I'm, of course, being in broadcast, I like geek out about this stuff, and I'm so excited to talk to you about this. But you're relatively new to the CBS crew with Evan Washburn and Ian Eagle. So that camaraderie, I mean, that is so important on a broadcast. And I enjoy watching you guys so much because you can just tell you guys are so close.
Thank you. And we've worked at that. You know, Ian and Evan have been together for a long time. And, you know, Dan Fouts had been part of their team. And look, you talk about a Hall of Fame quarterback, Hall of Fame broadcaster. So when I joined the team, my father said to me, you know, that's been a good team for a long time. So if anything goes haywire, that means you're the cause because you're the only thing that's different. So God bless our parents, right? They keep us in the right spot. But what we did this summer, because, you know, during the spring and summer because of the pandemic, we couldn't see each other. We couldn't get together. So we did exactly what you and I are doing. We went to Zoom, you know,
and really
Zoom sessions every week where we just get to know each other. And I would tell you that 95% of it was non-football, non-how we were going to broadcast, non-hey, this is what we do when we do a game. It was just getting to know each other. You know, getting to know each other, getting to know each other's families, likes, dislikes, interests, personalities, all of that. Then we added in our producer and director, and we started doing that with them. But once a week, 40, 45 minutes, we'd all be on a Zoom together and just hang out. And we thought that was a good way to start to try and build the chemistry and try to get to know each other. We never even actually did a rehearsal game. We never even actually did that because we would have had to do it by Zoom. Like,
right.
Let's get to know each other and let's just go in and go. And Ian and Evan and the rest of the crew have just been wonderful, very welcoming, very, you know, they're very great. They're great about guidance and leading me. And I'm just trying my best to run as fast as I can to catch up to those guys because they're top of the food chain. You know what I mean?
For sure. They are two very talented guys, but it seems to be working out. So props to you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So far, as they said, they haven't canned me yet. So we'll keep going.
All right. My final question for you. I always wonder this because you guys live in mock drafts, it seems, in the off season, you and Daniel Jeremiah and all the likes of that. And I'm always reading them and it's always interesting to see what you pick. So when it is draft night and it's not going according to plan, something always shakes up. Oh, you just tear everything up and be so frustrated that you spent months on this?
It's a great question because it depends on how you go into it. If you go into it with the idea that 1 through 32, all right, let's just do the basics without trades and all that stuff, right, that it needs to match. For me to feel successful, it needs to match up that name to that team. If you're going to do that, you might as well just go ahead and tear your hair out now because that's just not going to happen, right? What you're trying to do is to get 32 names in the first round that when it's all said and done and I count it up, I've got a pretty good number of those names in the first round that I identified first round picks, you know, that these were the guys that were going to go. Look, we're always going to get the Joshua Garnett that you go, whoa, whoa, where'd that pick come from? Right. And he goes in the first round and what, you know, could have got him in, you know, and sometimes it doesn't work like Joshua Garnett. And sometimes like Travis Frederick before he retired last year, you probably remember, Asha, when the Cowboys took him in the first round, I said, whoa, you can get him in the third. What are you doing? Becomes an all pro.
Right.
And it's all work for them. Knew what they wanted. Didn't care what the number, what the rest of the draft people said, this is our guy. So for the most part, you're going to have those, but what you're trying to do is get that 25 to 28 out of 32 guys in the first round that you got right. And hopefully there are no major surprises that you go, boy, I really, really missed on that one. I was way off. Cause there are guys that I had a first round grade on that didn't go. But there were extenuating circumstances sometimes. Maybe they were dinged their senior year, you know. Mm-hmm. He didn't time quite as fast as people might have thought. See, Laviska Shenault's one of those. To me, he was a first-rounder all day long. But he was dinged a little bit his last year. So because it was a heavy wide receiver year, he got pushed down.
Right.
But I think we've already seen why, you know, people have thought, oh, my goodness, this guy. And now when he gets fully healthy and they're able to get moving – I think people will say, yeah, that was a first-round talent all day long.
For sure. We're hoping some big things from that guy. Well, Charles, thank you so, so much.
You know, I appreciate you letting me come on your show. I really appreciate it. It's always fun to talk with you and pick your brain about what's going on with the team and the teams around the league. And I appreciate your insight and your expertise. So thank you so much, and we'll make sure we keep that going. You know you're going to get that call from me going, help me. I need help. What's going on?
Be honored. I would be honored for that call. I'll always answer. We'll have a great game on Sunday.
All right. Thank you, Ash. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you, Charles Davis. I told you guys he was a gem. We'll have more Schlin Show coming at you in the next few weeks, but always am thankful for Joe Fortunato, our producer, for making this the best podcast ever. See you next time.